Well, good morning, church. This is the day who made? The Lord has made. We're going to do what? And be glad in it. Aren't you glad you're a Christian today? Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Aren't you glad it matters for, no matter what happens today, we're on our way to heaven? There's, how many knows there is nuclear power available? But it can't exceed the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I told him in our starting point class this morning for some of our newer members going through, I said, you know, we disagree sometimes in the Bible on things. There's three different views taught, for instance, on the coming of the Lord. At one, before the great wrath of God is poured out, the church will be whisked away, and that's called pre-trib. And I said, I'm not so sure that's what's going to take place. I kind of see like mid-trib, you know, like in the middle of the Great Tribulation, there's something that's holding back the forces of evil. The only thing I know that can is the power of the church. But anyway, it says then I think that's when we'll probably be raptured. Personally, I think that. And then there's others that is much smarter than I. They believe that it's post-trib, like the church will go all the way through the Great Tribulation, and so then the rapture will come and God will rapture this church away. And here's what I told them this morning, and here's what I believe. I said, Lord, if it's the pre-tribbers are right, if it's they get to go before all the great wrath of God is poured out on the earth, don't leave me here because I'm ignorant. Let me agree with that. Don't leave me here because I'm ignorant. I want to go, you know, if I'm wrong, and I hope I am. And then we touched on eternal security. You know, this is an interdenominational church, and so we have people that believe that once you're really, truly, genuinely born again, that you are sealed with the stamp of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians, until the day of redemption. And they stand upon that, and they call that eternal security. And then there are other camps that says, you know, well, there is a place that you can fall from grace if you turn your back on God and you follow and commit your life to sin, even though you had a genuine relationship. Those are two key things that are taught in Christianity. And so I believe both camps will go to heaven. One of them is just wrong doctrine. But how many says, if you don't believe in eternal security, if I'm wrong, Lord, take me? And how many would say, if eternal security, I don't really believe that, but I hope it's true. You know, I mean, we can at least be that smart, can't we? You know, don't be rebellious just because you don't, you know, just to prove your point. I want to talk to you today about the church. I believe in the church. In fact, we were having a meeting the other day about what we're preaching and what's going to be said, I said, Eric, I'm going to preach on, I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ. He said, are we Latter-day Saints? But how many knows we are Latter-day Saints? We're saints and these are the latter days. So I just entitled it, I believe in the church. And let me say this about the church. I not only believe in the church, I love the church. I'm just in love with the church. How many knows I'm in love with the church because the church is you? Hey, look over at your neighbor and say, if you want to know what the church looks like, look at me. Go ahead and tell your neighbor that. Now look back at your neighbor and say, yeah, if I really want to know what the church looks like, I'll look in the mirror. Go ahead and tell them that. You're the church. We are the church. I mean, this is it. Now, what we're setting is, some people call this the church, you know, this building. This is a sheep pen. This is only a sheep pen. In fact, it doesn't matter how we remodel, how much money we put in the sheep pen, someday it's going to melt with fervent heat as Jesus comes back and purges this earth again from sin and disease and sickness and all the things that plague us now. Everything's going to burn with a fervent heat. Here's the disappointing news. If you just got a new house, it's burning. Just got a new car, it's burning. Ladies, if you just got a new dress or a bunch of fall clothes, they're burning if Jesus comes back. Here's the good news. You won't care. You get a robe of white, which proves you ladies like too many different varieties. We're getting a robe of white in heaven. So just, you know, kind of simplify this year if you can. Get ready for heaven. my new bike, motorcycle I bought, it's going to burn. But I'm getting a horse.
All right.
He's going to give me a horse. So I like horses. If you don't like horses, well, you'll like horses then. They're different in heaven. You don't have this physical body that can hit the ground and all. So we're all getting a horse. Look what your neighbor tell me, I'm getting a horse. Yeah, we're going to heaven. You ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 18, Jesus is quizzing his disciples. That would be one of the stressful things, wouldn't it? Walking along with Jesus is when he gives his quiz. you think school's hard. He looks at them and he says, who do men say that I am? And I can just feel the tension, can't you, when Jesus is saying this. Kind of like when you hadn't studied for a test, you know. And the teacher looks at you, Mark, what's the answer to the question? You know, it's like, I mean, you can feel that tension. He says, who do men, and they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist has come back, and some say you're Elijah. And he says, who do you say that I am? And then Jesus, and then Peter says, well, let's read it. He says, this is Pete's answer back to him. He said, I also say that, he says, you're the Son of God. And as he reveals that to him in verse 18, he says, I also say to you, because this spiritual revelation that you have of who Jesus is, how many knows Jesus is the church? He's the head and we're the body. In fact, the church and body is interchangeable. You know, if you see the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the church, they're interchangeable together. So, 16 in Matthew 16, verse 18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And so he's given a power and authority here. In fact, Peter is talking about a piece of the rock. And when he says, and upon this rock, that word means the masses, the massive rock, the entire church. He's talking to 12 disciples, and which are the 12 pillars. Actually, one didn't make it. One turned from Jesus Christ after following him for 3 years and sold out. And so he's talking to these the 11 and saying to them, you're going to be the pillars of the church. You know, we have people here that, here's the pillars of the church. Those are the ones that give and that participate in the church. And that's why this church exists. This particular body exists is because God sets pillars in the church. And I appreciate every pillar of our church that will come and give of their time, their talent, and their treasure. That's a part of the church. Now the word church here it says a calling out. It's a calling out. That's how you know you've been a part now of the church. It's not by your profession. You know, maybe I can profess, well, yeah, I'll receive Jesus, and then they just walk on out the way they did before they received Jesus. There's a calling out. That's what the church is. That's how we know we are really a part of the church, is a calling out. And then it says, a religious congregation. Now, how many think religion is bad? Well, it's not. How many religious people we have in the house today? Yeah. Everybody that's a part of the church. True religion, we'll talk about that. And I love the latter part of this Greek definition. It says, a community of members on earth are saints in heaven are both. And so here's what we have right now. I love this. We have the church that's on earth in the first heaven, and we have church in the third sphere, and that's where God is, and the rest of the church is there. And then in between us, we have the second atmosphere where Satan, it says he's the prince and the power of the air. And so in between the church here that is tempted and tried and tested, and between us, there's this tempting sphere of Satan and where he operates. And then there's a third heaven where the church is, the rest of the church that's gone on. Like Nikita that was found this week that was a Christian and loved Jesus Christ and had given her heart and life. She was transferred like from this church, this earthly church, to her heavenly church. See? Beam me up, Scotty. I mean, it's a transformation, isn't it? We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so she was changed at that moment. You know, we saw where her body was. We found the body as we was out searching and praying and looking. And so that's the vehicle that carried her spirit. But that spirit was detached. And now it's in the third heaven. It's in the other church where you and I are headed. Everyone that confesses the name of Christ. And so there's a calling out, and sometimes we get criticized, church, for this calling out. You ever notice that? We've been called out to be separate, to be holy. And sometimes we get criticized because people, they say stuff like, about, well, you think you're just better than we are. See? You ever had anybody tell you that? You just think you're better than we are. Or maybe they say something like, you think God only loves you. Or maybe you think you're the only ones going to heaven. One of the pastors that got up yesterday at the funeral, there's about five of them. They said, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a calling out. That's a separation, isn't it? To say there's only one way. Because, I mean, there's a lot of religions in the world. In fact, the guy that came, the Quanel X that came, he's a Muslim. That came and talked to the guy. But I tell you, one of the things I saw on his face, I didn't get to talk to him personally, but on the interview, I saw that he showed genuine love to this individual. And he said, it was like, I'm in your corner. And here's what I know. Love is a principle of God's Word. In fact, the Bible says love never fails. Love never fails. If you want a fail-proof relationship, just use love. It's a godly principle. Whether you live godly or not, love will work. I don't know how you could live godly without love, but, you know, it'll work. It's a godly principle. So he came in and he showed this guy a lot of love, and he got a confession out of him. And as a result of finding the body, yesterday we had the funeral, and about 20 or 30 people came to the altar. Mr. Quanel X, Muslim, was a part of that process. And he knows God can use whatever he wants in the church if we don't get too holy. Now, part of the calling out and what they criticize us about, church, is our fault. It's our fault. Because we don't love people unconditionally like God told us to. So how many knows when He looked at you before you became a Christ follower, He said, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that's the way we should be. If we're going to imitate our Father as the church, we should say to any sinner, rank sinner, whomever it may be, nothing can separate you and me and our love that I have for you. Now, you may not love me, but nothing can separate my love from you. That's why people flocked Jesus wherever He went. It's because He had this unconditional love. And we don't do that. Somebody hurts us and we put a lot of conditions on that love, huh? I was talking to my sister and one of the pastors that has fallen in sin and then he tried to take like $40,000 out of an account and cash it and take it with him. And my sister says, well, they could never restore him. I said, well, if you can't restore people that steal money, who can you restore? Who can restore them then? How many knows it's up to the church to restore? I said, you just don't let them around the money. Just take the checkbook away. Tell them we love you and we're going to restore you, but I don't think it's best interest for you to hold the checkbook. Are you with me? So you help them. You separate. That's a separation. A calling out. A calling out. And so if we love people unconditionally, then we're doing what God said and what we're... I don't think we minister to sinners the way we should. I mean, it's our call each week and each day to do ministry to sinners. Now, I know we have a lot of people that just try to sponge off the church and they call here as well and they're just, you know, always in a crisis. They always have a need and they don't want to come to church and they don't want... And you can't help those kind of people because they're just working the system. They're working the system. You know, they hit different churches, different times, and then a lot of them go off and play bingo, and they lose their money trying to double it. And if we'd have doubled it, we'd have been all right, but we didn't. So we'll call the church or whoever else can rescue us from our situation. And we can't, you can't help people that's not willing to help themselves, but we need to minister to sinners. In fact, Jesus just hung out with sinners, didn't he? He'd gone home with Zach, you know, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, and he was rich, and everybody said, from the church, can you believe he's going home with that man? Let me ask you this, when's the last time you invited yourself over to a sinner's house? That's what the church does. Can I go home with you? Would you fix me dinner? I'd like to just hang out with you for a while. Yeah. In fact, his holy group that he walked around with, remember the kids would come up. Remember what they'd say to the kids? You kids get out of here. He's a busy man. And try to run the kids off. And he'd say, would you stop it? Just let the kids come. Would you quit it? Now, here's what we wrestle with as believers in trying to be like Jesus and trying to be the church where we're reaching out to unholy people. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so we say, well, you see, it says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch the unclean things, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. And so we wrestle with, what is it with being yoked and hanging out with them? How many knows the difference between being yoked and hanging out? Being yoked and hanging out. Yeah. You know, If hanging out is just loving them and being the influencer. How many knows that the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? I mean, we're supposed to be the influencer in situations, whatever that situation is. Giving the word is a great way. Speaking the truth in love, that's how we become an influencer of our situation. And then being yoked together would be if we hooked arms, or if I came up and hooked around Dennis, or, you know, we're going to hook up together. Yeah, I'm hooked to this person. And so he said, don't get hooked up with them. Don't partake in what they do if they're a sinner. But we got to hang out with sinners. We got to love sinners. And in fact, let's just call them pre-Christians.
There you go.
Let's hang out with pre-Christians. Yeah. There's more faith in that, isn't there? They're coming. They're just pre-Christians. Because we're hanging out with them, and we believe they're going to come. So that's what we do. And there were times when Christ would be in a house, and a prostitute would come in, and she's crying, and tears were dropping on his feet, and then she's wiping them and kissing his feet, and people saying, look at him. Look at him. We know what kind of woman she is, but I guess he doesn't. Or he wouldn't let her do that. And Jesus just loved on her, see? Just loving the church. He wasn't hooked up with her, but he was loving her unconditionally. And then the church, you know, how many knows God has one church? Just one church. Every church that says Jesus Christ is Lord and lives to His and submits to Jesus Christ, there are brothers and sisters in Christ. Yesterday in the church, Mount Olivet Baptist Church, there were all kinds of people doing all kinds of things. And it was the church. They were still all the church. In fact, I sat with Thelma and I asked questions about, you know, in the African American church. I said, you know, because I know the Southern Baptists, they don't like to ordain women to minister. And I said, is the black Baptist, are they different? And she said, no. But how many saw the TV last night or came to the funeral yesterday and you saw a woman get up and preach the Word of God? And she didn't preach like I'm preaching. She's like, God is in the house and I'm telling you, if you'll come on now, God's going to save you. And we're not. I mean, she was spitting and huffing and she was... And then in a Baptist church, she said, excuse me. That's the way she did. Except she was doing it for a long time, just like that. And the Baptist pastor, that was the pastor, he never said a word. He didn't even speak, but he just sat there in his chair. And she's just getting after it. And then she started saying something. Because, you know, you can flop all you want. That don't excite me, one way or other. You can shout and spit all you want. That don't excite me one way or other. I mean, if you've got a good message, I don't care how you deliver it. Do you? How many says, if you bring me $1 million, just scream it to me? Come up quietly and humbly and give it to me? How many just say, bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Give me $1 million. How many knows the message is a lot more powerful than $1 million? So I don't really care how it comes packaged. Do you? But then she began to say, don't let this lady's death be in vain. She is in heaven. Why don't you come and give your heart and life to Jesus and join her? Except she said it a lot faster than that. You had to listen real close. And before she began to give the altar call, and she's talking about, don't let her... I said, oh, come on, Holy Spirit, give the altar call. Give the altar call. Give the altar call. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Bless her. I just pray in blessing and give the altar call, you know. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I could feel, couldn't you? I could just feel there's people that's going to come. And then Cliff said, I know some of these kids that came. He said, they used to be in gangs. And now they're up at the altar because somebody that was different than the pastor got up and gave a message. But you know what? I respect that pastor because he never quenched the spirit. Now, he's Baptist and he sat like Baptists sit. Some Baptists, the Baptists I hung out with growing up. But he sat there, but he did not quench the Holy Spirit. He did not, and I don't know what he thought, but he didn't quench the Holy Spirit, and I respect him for that. That's his church. He could have got up and said, sister, you need to calm down. He could have said a lot, but he didn't quench the Spirit. And here's what I know. When we're going to church, and we're visiting other churches like we did yesterday, we need to go in with a this is my family attitude. Because we get so stinking prideful as a church. And then we say, well, their church don't do this as well. You know what I do? I go in and look for every good I can so I can steal it and bring it to our church. Because you can't steal from family, they're family. I'm just going to take what you got and God showed you and I'm going to take it home. My kids come in my house all the time and get stuff and just walk out. Because they're family. Summer came in the other day and said, you need to restore your candy bowl here, and walked out. Because they're family. You know what I got yesterday? Yesterday, there was a man came in reading scripture. Just, you know, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil for thou. I don't remember what he's, but it was powerful. He led the whole family in reading the scripture. I thought that was powerful to lead the family in that was suffering loss and distraught. Leading them in with the word of God being read aloud. And he read the word. He went up to the pulpit and up to the platform and he read the word until all the family members were seated. The word was being read and going forth. I thought that's powerful. Then you know what he did? Same guy. He was the timekeeper. They opened it up, which is a dangerous thing, in my opinion, to do when you're at a church. A lot of people there yesterday. A few hundred people there at least. And so he's opened it up to prayer or to talk. If you want to come up as a family member or a friend and say whatever is on your heart, we open it up for 10 minutes. I thought, boy, that's risky. And you know, and some of them got up, bless her heart. They were like, she's my best friend, and y'all ever have a best friend? I hadn't hardly eat all week. It's all about them, I thought. You know, bless their heart. But, you know, you could tell they just didn't know, you know. We're here to edify God and or glorify God and edify the family, not talk about how you're suffering right now. But she just didn't know. But he said, he made a statement, and I appreciate this about their leadership. He said, I'm going to ask everybody to keep it at 2 minutes or under, and if you don't know what 2 minutes is, I'm going to help you. I said, I like that man. And he had to help a few. He did. And that's a hard thing to do. But he'd already give notice if you don't know what 2 minutes... And I thought, that's a good way to do that, isn't it? You give notice to the body. And I thought, I put that in my brain. I thought, you know, when we have something like this, steal that from our brother and use that here. You don't know what 2 minutes is. Back in our prayer time this morning, I told Jan, now don't preach. I got the sermon. Don't preach. you didn't preach, did she? She got up and gave an edifying word and gave prayer and did a good job. But there was one sister and she started repeating herself. She made the news last night. And the first part was good in what she said. And she started repeating it. She repeated it. And she got through repeating it. She started repeating again. And the timekeeper just walked over to the pulpit. Sister, we appreciate that good word. That's powerful. Wasn't that powerful what she was? And she's still talking, you know. Wasn't that powerful what she was saying? I thought, she shut up because he kept talking. That was a good word, and we appreciate that, and we're going to move on along. And so the next person came up. And guess what? Everybody in all the rest of us was saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Because it was we're there to edify the body. We're the church. Sometimes you have to tell a family member, we're not doing that, right? You have to look at a family member and say, we're not, me and my house, we're just not doing that, you know. Time out here. And so that's all he was doing, saying to family, we're not doing that. And but here's what we need to get in the mode of doing. And it's not a new problem, it's an old problem. Remember when Jesus was walking along and they were talking, and it's Mark the 9th chapter. If you want to, you can turn there. Mark the 9th chapter, verse 38, 39. But here's where we need to grow, church. We need to grow in the fact that we don't say, you know what, we have a key on anything. How many knows if any good thing gets done in the house of God, it's because Jesus Christ has been in the house. We need to say whatever it is, with the Baptist, the Catholic, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, we need to say to God be the glory if there's any good thing that's accomplished in that church. Because it's all about glorifying God and ministering to people. So it's not a new problem, but it's a bad problem. In Mark 9:38, this is the NIV, I like the way it said it. It says, teacher, talking to Jesus, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name. See, he didn't say they were trying. He said, we thought they were going to. We saw a man driving out demons in your name. They're doing ministry. And we told them to stop, because he was not one of us. Now I'm sure there were people in there yesterday saying, well, this needs to stop. I mean, that's just the makeup of people. They were hanging out with Jesus, and they had the same problem that we have today. Well, I just don't think they ought to do that in church. Whether it's expressing their way different, or using different gifts in church, or whatever their structure is. Yeah, that's okay. That's why there's different bodies and they operate different ways. Kind of like you and me. We're all different personalities. If we all gave you a statement to say and you all said, now get up and say it with all that's within you. That, just one statement. Just get up and declare it, express it the best way you can express it to this congregation. And we took our turn and everybody got up. How many knows? Every one of us would be different. That's our personal preference. That's our personal environment we grew up in, and that's how we express what we express. You know, mine's mixed with teaching and comedy. You know, that's just kind of, I always like to have fun, and I like to teach the word, and so that's just my mixture. If you don't like that, you probably won't like here. If you like more serious, or if you like more shouting and spitting, or whatever you like, you probably won't like this. I'm a practical teacher that will try to give you something this week to help you and your practical problems that you have. But that's just my expression. Doesn't make me more holy or more righteous or more sanctified or less than anyone else. He said, we told him to stop. And Jesus said, listen, no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. My presence won't operate through people one minute and stop the next, he says. And he says, for whoever is not against us is for us. If Jesus is their Lord and He's on their in their hearts and on their role, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you with me? They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. I was preparing this message and I thought, you know what? I thought Jesus prayed a lot, didn't he? I thought, this is probably why he prayed a lot. Oh God, are you sure these are the ones? When church does try to break out, they're in there, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Because we all think we have a key on church. Pentecostals think, well, we got true Holy Ghost. They do. That's a lot of them think we've got true Holy Ghost. And it's nothing but pride, but that's what I hear in circles, Pentecost circles, because I got a lot of Pentecost friends. And in the Baptist realm, well, hallelujah, we got true doctrine. If y'all don't say amen, the chairs are going to start shouting right now. Then it'll scare the fire out of you, and then you'll start shouting, won't you? I'm telling you, we just need to get free, that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying this for is because God wants to deliver the church from pride and say, you know what, you're my brother, you're my sister, let's just be one in Jesus Christ. You may shout, go ahead and shout your message. You may sing yours, you may quietly give yours, you may do this, you may sit and weep, you may just get happy. Yesterday when that preacher was preaching that woman, I was just laughing. Because I just laughed and I thought, I hope that doesn't disturb. But it just tickles the fire out of me when I see that. When she did her dance, I just lost it. I just thought, that is so funny to me, you know, just to see it. And then to watch everything around it and watch God orchestrating this thing. And, never, you know, you can see all these different people looking. And then there was one lady sitting to my far left. I'm not sure what she was doing. I almost asked you, because do you know what she was doing? Okay. You know, is that Jesus or is that Satan over there? You know, I mean, I wouldn't. This is my thoughts. I'm not trying to make fun. I never heard what that lady was doing in church, and it was just a maybe it's a groaning. Is that what you think, or she needed prayer? Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it's drawing attention to her. It's taking it off Jesus, and so it's not edifying the body. So. I thought, this is my diagnosis. It was a growing, she needed to grow. She needed to say, like the lady that said, I haven't eaten all week, I'm hungry, you know, edifying herself, concerned about her. That's what I picked up with this lady. And then I looked over there, and there was a lady standing there with a fan, fanning her as she was doing her deal. And I thought, don't fan her, just let her burn out, you know. That was just what was going through my little pea brain, you know, at the time. But here's all these different expressions going on in the church, God's church, one church, and they are worshiping Jesus Christ. And then when the altar call is given, the fruit comes forward. That's what we need to look at, is the fruit coming forward. And the fruit's coming forward because it's sing, it's preached, it's shouted, it's danced, it's whatever, and there's fruit coming forward. We are in the church. We're in a group that is ordained and called, and we could call them the true church because there's fruit in the church. I was amazed at some of the comments that came out of the pulpit about, you know, I'm just here to preach truth, like the rest of them weren't. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't that sound kind of holy? And they don't even think about that. I'm here to preach the truth. I'm not worried about what you think. Well, golly, we didn't know that. Imagine that, truth being preached in church. Isn't that a neat concept? You know. But these are statements we make in the church. Come on, we're all here because we're searching for truth. And you shout. You're no more holy than I am if I don't shout. I'm no more holy than you are. I don't have any more key on the doctrine than you do. I have my preferences, my beliefs, my thoughts. But you know what? It's because we study the Word together and we look at the Word and we come up with what we believe, right? But we make statements like that, like everybody else is not here to sing the truth, preach the truth. They're not as anointed as I am. Yeah. But I heard a theme yesterday. Did you hear the theme? We got to forgive, church. We got to forgive. How many knows that somebody just murdered your sister, your daughter, your mother, your cousin? That would be a battle you'd have. Just brutally murdered your loved one. That would be hard. And so that was a theme that reoccurred from every pastor almost. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. And the Holy Spirit was just wooing people to forgive. So there's much more done than just salvation yesterday. There were seeds planted from all these pastors that you need to, we got to forgive. I know it's not easy, and I know we need time, but that's, you know, that was a reoccurring theme that the Holy Spirit was speaking through all the different makeups and all the different characters that were there yesterday and preferences and personalities. That was going forward through all of them. You you know, just permeating the room. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And I thought, man, what a good basic foundation at a funeral to bring on the Holy Spirit. And then after everybody kept just reiterating that and saying that, and then the Holy Spirit came forward and was ushered in, not because she was shouting and she was dancing, it's because she had heard from God. That was just her delivery. Anybody could have said the same thing through a different delivery, and the fruit would come forward because the Holy Spirit was anointed and He was there. We allowed Him to come in and anoint the situation in the congregation, and everybody sitting there, we're praying and we're offering our love and wooing the Holy Spirit, come in. And all of a sudden it came in, and the people lined the front of the church, gang members and people that are away from God, and they came to Christ. And it's a precious moment, a victory for Jesus and a victory for the church as they came forward. Let me help you grow just a little bit. Here's what I believe in. We need to get to a place. Listen to me, church. And some of you that are baby Christians, this is a stretch for you. So this is not as much for you as it is the seasoned veterans. But, you know, after a while, when you're going to church, you need to be more excited about what you're coming to bring to church than what you're getting from church. Let me say this. If you don't get to where you're more excited about what you're bringing to church than what you're getting from the church, you're still on the breast. Just getting milk. Amen. Hallelujah! 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 That was the chair shouting out. Hallelujah! 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 I said, if you don't get more excited about what you're bringing to church than what you're getting from church, you're not even grown yet. And it's okay to feed the babies on a bottle for a little while, but when Junior's 16, you don't let him jump up in your lap and, you know. Isn't that a gross picture? And that's the way it is with God. That's the way it is with God whenever you and I don't grow up. It's a gross picture. You know, when I was coming to church this morning, I was excited about giving you this word. When I was coming to church this morning, I was excited about getting together with prayer partners that are praying Scripture. When I came to church, and I know, what were you excited about this morning? That's all I'm saying. Let's get so excited, more excited about what we're coming to give. I can tell when our praisers get up, they're more excited about what they're going to give out to you than they are about receiving. You can just see it on their face. They're ready. They're willing. And in fact, Tubbs is going to be playing Tuesday night at 6:45 at the Guitar Center at the Drum Off contest. He is a winner, isn't he? He's awesome on the drums. And so he, I said, let me know when. He come brought me this morning because you know what? He's excited about what he's doing and his gift that Jesus has given him. And we ought to all be that excited about our gift. We should. We should be excited about our gift. And so I get excited about you getting excited about your gift, and we all get excited for each other about our gift. But until you learn that it's more about what I can give and what I can do when I come to church, you're not going to be happy at church. Well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, come to my class and you'll know. Marlene is one of our new members, and I said, do you like to come to our starting point class, one of our new members' class? She said, I will if I can still greet. I'm not quitting ministry to come to your class, what she's telling me. I would do the same thing. If you said, I got this class, you need to come, Pastor, you need to learn, there's some good stuff, God wants you to come to this class, will you come on Sunday? I said, I will if it isn't when I'm preaching. I wouldn't come to your class either. But what's exciting about it is she knows her ministry and her part, and she's excited about what she can give to this church. See, she's got it. It's a greeter. And then her part is just as important as my part. What if there's nobody here to greet you or say hello or anything, and nobody's here to play music? We just all came in. You sit down if you found the seat, wherever you want to sit and whatever you want to do and whatever. And there's no order. There's order because everybody's knowing their gifts. You don't know how hard they work on just keeping order in this service. Everybody trying to orchestrate their part and their gift. Who's going to do what, when, and how's it going to go to edify the body and glorify God? And so the church is a living organism. He said he's added to the church daily as those that should be saved. and we're a growing body. We're growing more fingers, more. It's growing bigger, growing more feet to take us, and more eyes to see, and more ears to hear, and more gifts to be added to our body. It's a living organism. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And we need to quit criticizing every other church. And if you go in like we did yesterday at the funeral, I want to encourage you to do this. Look for the good. Man, there's so many good things, I couldn't even preach about all of them. But those are the few of the things that I saw yesterday that were just wonderful. Wonderful. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We have the only message. In fact, here's one of the things that the church is. It's got the true message of who Jesus is. The world has a concept about who Jesus is, but the church has the true message of who Jesus is. And to be able to go out and share that, that just should excite the heck out of us. That's good preaching there, and it gives you heck out of us. It just I tear teachers up everywhere, you know, but that's okay. The church is a religious congregation, James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's the church. Go out and meet needs and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. In fact, I knew a preacher one time in talking about keeping yourself unspotted from the world, and he was lying and cursing and acting a fool one day, and just a few short days later he was back in the pulpit. You know what his name was? Peter. The Apostle Peter. Lying, cursing. A few days later, he's back in the pulpit. In fact, he preached the first gospel message. After just a few short days ago, he'd been lying and denying Christ, cursing. Listen, when Jesus brought us together, Jesus came with grace and truth. Everybody say grace and truth. You know what you got if you got truth without grace? The law. That's the Old Testament. That's what we have. If you got the truth without grace, you got the law. You got Old Testament. How many we don't want to be under the law anymore. So take your truth and lace it with all kinds of grace and let the church grow. Right where they are. And if you see something that's wrong in some other church or in this church, just love us and give us some grace, give us some truth, and watch us grow. Same way with all of our other denominations and brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's just give them grace and watch them grow. This page does not pertain to you. This is for tonight. The church has the power to set people free through Jesus Christ. That should be our specialty, setting people free. I was asked this morning by one of our Bible students in our class. He said, "You know, I got people at work, and I don't know what to do with them." Said, "You know, they some of them grew up in church and all, and he's trying to witness to them." And I said, "This is what you do: you give them the word with love, speak the truth in love." I've done that over the years with people when I was in construction. I do that. I have guys come back several months later and almost quote the scripture that I would give to them. Because the word will not return void. Somebody, is it you or Jan, quoted that this morning. The word will not return void, but it will accomplish the thing that God sent it to accomplish. And so, just give them the word. Don't give them your opinion. You know, give it in love. And when they say, "Well, I don't believe that," I say, "Well, you know, the Bible says, what do you think about that?" And we're so offensive. We're the church. We're supposed to be full of love and grace. And so let's act like the church when we go forward. The church is also a place of accountability, isn't it? It's a place of accountability. The timekeeper yesterday said, "I have to keep order in the church," and some probably didn't like it, but the rest of us loved it. Can you say, "You know what? Well, we're just structuring the Holy Spirit right out of service"? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we pray and come together, we can say a lot. We can keep it decently and in order. Church is a place of accountability. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, show him his fault. That's accountability, isn't it? Now, some of you need to get that, because some of you, you think when your brother sins, you're supposed to call me and I'm supposed to show him his fault. You know what I say to that? You're out of order! I don't know what to tell him. Well, God showed you, and if it's really a case against them, you go tell them their fault against that you have, that they're in. Are you with me? Let's do it the Bible way, okay? Just go to them and tell them. You love them enough. Tell them I love you too much to leave you there. Tell them you're just like Jesus, you know. I love you too much. I love you, but I love you too much to leave you where you are. You're in a fault. You're in a sin right now. And I love you too much not to tell you. And then he says, now, if that doesn't work, then you go get two or three brothers. See, you still hadn't called me yet. Have you noticed that? And then if that don't work, you come to the church. You're the place of accountability. The church is a place of accountability. We've already mentioned the church is a living organism. The church is a place that plants and waters and watch God give increase. A real church now, if we're a real church, we're going to go out and plant and water and watch God give increase. And the problem is, sometimes we're a lot like the early church that was there, when he talked to them about planting and watering, and they got hung up on methods again. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. And Paul said, you know what? We're all of Jesus. We're all of Jesus. The same way we do today. Well, I'm of Joyce Myers. I'm of T.D. Jakes. Or I'm of Billy Graham. And we got all the reasons, you know. And the same way in the church, that things we just talked about. It's just differences of opinion, different preferences is all it is. So don't get hung up on that. Just say, I'm of Jesus Christ. Let's just be of Jesus Christ. You know, you can love your speakers that you love to listen to, but let's just say, I'm of Jesus Christ. And then, one more note before I close on my last point. God sanctions and blesses all sizes of church. I see pastors, and I deal with this more than you, but I see pastors struggle because, you know, they think they don't have enough people, you know, they're not. As long as there's being fruit produced in that body, you're seeing people grow from where they were, and they're growing spiritually, and there's something being given out, just like we're reaching out to our communities, we're doing the work of Christ, and God is pleased with that. Okay? So don't look at size, and that's more about for pastors probably, but. And in closing this, Jesus is coming back after the church. When I hear people say, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. Well, Jesus is coming back after the church. So you better fall in love with the church. Because if you make it, you're going to spend eternity with the church. Remember, they got the church on the earth. We got the church in the third heaven. But they're still the church. They're Christ followers, and we're going to spend eternity with them. So we better quit criticizing the church and say, I am the church. I am the church. I belong to Jesus. He's the head. I'm the body. I am the church. One of the hardest things I get in doing my pastor's classes is for new people to say, I am a minister of Jesus Christ. It amazes me that people just have a hard time. Probably 50, 60, 70% of the people that come through my pastor's class say, I say, have you ever called yourself a minister? Oh, no. And just to say, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, because each part ministering together is what makes growth in the body. We are all ministers of Christ. Everybody say that, would you? I am a minister of Christ. Yeah, you are. You are a full-time minister of Christ. You're full-time at work, full-time at home. You should look like Jesus when you come to church. You should look like Jesus when you're at home. You should look like Jesus when you're coming to church and everything's went wrong that morning. You should look like Jesus. He's coming back after the church, and he says, you know, brethren, concerning those things, that those who have fallen asleep, he said, and have no hope, he said, Jesus died, he rose again, and he's going to bring those back with him, and then after the dead in Christ have been raised, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The church is who Jesus Christ is coming back after. Let's fall in love with the church. not with just yourself, but every church that professes Jesus Christ. Go in and, when you're in the church, love them and look for the good and tell them about it and build them up. And let's edify one another before Jesus comes back after His church. Father, we thank You today that You said in Your Word, You're coming back after a church that was without stain, without wrinkle, or any other blemish, who are holy and who are blameless. And so, Lord, today if there's those under the sound of my voice that have blemish and sin and spots in their garments, I ask today that You would forgive them and bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ and renew their hope in Christ again today. Holy Spirit, come and reveal sin that is in our lives. Come and reveal everything that doesn't resemble Jesus. And help us to call out on You right now. And say, God, I don't want this in my life anymore. You're coming back after the church and I want to go with the church. I'm a part of the church, but my garment is stained today. And if that's you, while Christians are praying and heads are bowed, I want you to pray this with me to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't want you to miss this great event that I believe could take place at any moment. Just repeat with me, if there's stains in your garment, you've allowed sin in your life, and you say, I don't want to miss going to heaven and spending eternity with Jesus Christ. Pray this with me. You can pray it out loud, you can pray it silent to Jesus Christ, but pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. God, forgive me of my sins. I turn from the things I've been doing that is sin. And I turn to You. And I give my heart and my life to You. I give my mind and I give my body to You. Be my Lord and Savior. Give me power to walk in holiness through the Spirit of God. I'm Yours, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And while Christians are praying, right, and just real quickly, if you're here today,